You're listening to SBS News.
5 months into the Ukraine conflict and there's still no end in sight. The civilian death toll continues to grow with at least 20 now confirmed dead, and that number expected to rise after two Russian missiles struck a crowded shopping centre in Kremenchuk in central Ukraine. As many as 1,000 people were in the building when explosions erupted at 4 p.m. local time on Monday, igniting a huge fire that took 4 hours and 300 emergency workers to extinguish. Rescue teams are still searching for survivors under the rubble. Recovering from the blast injuries to his limbs and head, Ihoy Shenko says he counts himself lucky to be alive.
I went to a shop to get my phone repaired. I went inside and got coffee. I walked for 5 to 7 meters and then there was a red and orange flash. Then a rocket. That's it. Later there was another blast. I can't remember if it was on the left or the right. There was soot. Smoke. I crawled to the exit.
Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov sought to distance Russia from being blamed for the deaths in Kremenchuk. Providing no evidence to back up his claim, he says the Russian missile strikes on the shopping centre happened incidentally, after Russia's military attacked a nearby location storing US and European weapons.
As a result of ammunition detonation, an empty shopping mall nearby caught fire. The more weapons are supplied, which are aimed at prolonging the conflict, prolonging the suffering of civilians who constantly live under shelling of the Ukrainian neo-Nazi regime, the more tasks we will perform. These tasks will be completed.
The attack has been condemned by world leaders attending a three-day NATO summit in Madrid. NATO Secretary-General Jens Stoltenberg says Russia's aggression in Ukraine, including this recent attack, has prompted a fundamental shift in NATO's approach to defence.
The Madrid strategic concept that will be the blueprint for NATO in a more dangerous and unpredictable world. We will agree a fundamental shift to our deterrence and defence, with more high readiness forces, with more forward defence, with more pre-positioned equipment. We will agree a comprehensive assistance package to Ukraine to help them uphold the right for self-defense. It is extremely important that we are ready to continue to provide support because Ukraine now faces a brutality which we haven't seen in Europe since the Second World War.
The remarks come a day after he announced a more than sevenfold increase in troops being put on high alert to 300,000. In a further sign of NATO's expansion, Sweden and Finland are a step closer to joining the military alliance after Turkey backed down on its threat to block the move. 4 hours of talks held between the leaders of the three nations at the NATO summit resulted in the breakthrough and a signed joint agreement. Mr. Stoltenberg mediated the talks. He says the development only makes NATO stronger.
Now President Putin is getting more NATO on his borders. So what he gets is the opposite of what he actually demanded, and that was to NATO to close its doors. We are demonstrating that NATO stores are open. NATO store is open.
Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan says he's happy with the new joint agreement. In exchange for supporting the NATO applications of Sweden and Finland, the two Nordic countries will accommodate Turkey's call for the removal of restrictions on weapons deliveries to Turkey, which were imposed after the country's incursion into Syria in 2019. Mr. Stoltenberg says there was careful consideration of Turkey's other request for the extradition of wanted individuals who were accused of being Kurdish militants behind an insurgency against Turkey.
Finland and Sweden, of course, are ready to work with Turkey on the pending deportations or extradition requests of terror suspected individuals. But at the same time, that this extradition process will take place in accordance with the European Convention on Extradition. I mean, this is, of course, in respect of the rule of law, the legal systems in these countries.
In a sign of efforts to extend the alliance's reach into the Indo-Pacific, Australia, South Korea, Japan and New Zealand are attending the summit as observers. Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese says he stands with other NATO leaders and allies who intend to hold Vladimir Putin accountable through economic sanctions, political isolation, and more military support for Ukraine.
This war of aggression is seeing more and more civilians impacted, and Vladimir Putin is uniting the world against him with this sort of atrocity.
He says he's considering re-establishing the Australian embassy in Kyiv after staff were evacuated in February ahead of Mr. Putin's invasion. Mr. Albanese met with summit host Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez. Mr. Sanchez says NATO was founded after World War II to counter the threat posed by the Soviet Union. And today, the organisation is at a turning point.
I think that from the first moment, both NATO member nations and allies, we have been very measured in our interventions, especially not to escalate this conflict. What is clear is that we have to convey a dissuasive message to the Russian Federation and to Vladimir Putin that obviously Article 5 of the NATO Treaty on Mutual Defence can be activated at a time when any of the allied countries suffer. This threat is very direct. I am thinking, for example, of the Baltic Republics. We have to transmit a message of deterrence that we are ready to defend every centimetre of allied territory.
The United Nations says over the last 5 months, 5.26 million people have fled Ukraine, and another 6.2 million are internally displaced within the country. Even amid warnings the war in Ukraine could last for years, discussion is also turning to a long-term plan to rebuild Ukraine. Analysts, diplomats and world leaders such as German Chancellor Olaf Scholz are calling for a plan modelled on the US initiative to help Western Europe rebuild after World War II, the so-called Marshall Plan. Ukraine's Deputy Prime Minister Olha Stefanishnya says a country would welcome such an initiative. Speaking at the German Marshall Fund's annual Brussels Forum, she says the plan should include a number of elements.
Is the financial and economic support of Ukraine throughout the period of war to make sure that our economy is functional, that the banking and financial sectors are sustainable, and we are capable to ensure the social needs of Ukrainian people. This is essential to win the war and to preserve the unity and the resilience among people. And of course, the second element, the Marshall Plan itself, is the post-war reconstruction, which is now clearly based on Ukraine's way towards European Union.
Ukraine is now an official candidate for European Union membership, but there are still other steps to be taken before the application is successful. Those steps include the achievement of certain economic and political reforms, which are made more difficult with the country in a state of war. Thiwa Kwan, SBS News.